A very good morning on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Tik 10 for Talmud. Yevama Sayin Ches, Yevama 78a, pagination 155. We're dealing with a case of Giyores Meuberes, a woman who is converting to Judaism, and she is pregnant. And we want to discuss what the status of the fetus is regarding this conversion. Now, one of the applications that this could affect is based on a pasuk in Parshas Ki Tsetse, Perik Chaf Gimel Pasuk Tes, that tells us that a Mitzri, whoever would have that status, and we discussed this briefly previously, whether people today could have the status attributed to that country, or do we simply say that the different nationalities were moved from their lands and mixed into the greater world population, and therefore this law doesn't apply on a practical level? Excuse me, but certainly the Gemara discusses it, and the Pasuk has a mitzvah regarding a Mitzri, a person from the land of Mitzrayim that's converting to Judaism. Says the pasuk, "Banim asher yivoldu lohem dor shlishi," descendants that will be born to them by the third generation, "yavo lohem bekal Hashem," are allowed to marry into the Jewish people, into the congregation of Hashem. Dor shlishi, a third generation, and that's calculated inclusive, that the person who converted is the first generation, their child is the second generation, and their grandchild is the third generation, about whom it is written, Yavo, he's allowed to marry in to the Jewish people. Until then, they could marry other converts or other situations that are also permitted to them. But once the third generation is achieved, they can marry regular. Question is, what happens if a woman who is pregnant converts and she is from the Mitzrayim? What is the status of the newborn child once he is born? Does he count as a second generation, or is he a first generation because he himself was part of that conversion process? So there are fundamentally two ways to look at the fetus. One is that we're actually converting the child, and the child is part of the conversion. And the other approach is that the child is not looked at as a child, but rather as an extension of the mother, and we're not converting the child at all. We're converting the mother, and uber yerech imo, the fetus is part of the mother, and we don't have to pay attention to the child themselves. We'll see how this plays out in a moment, but first, our case regarding a Mitzri that's converting. The Gemara is about a quarter of the way down at the end of a line. Hey, Aleph, Hava Amina, I would have thought, Mitzris Meuberes Shenisgaira, a woman from Mitzrayim who's pregnant and is converting, he Ubana Chad, I would think that she and her child are all one generation, because that's the generation of the conversion. Kasav Rachmana, the Torah says, Asher Yivoldu, that will be born. And from that, those words, Asher Yivoldu, that will be born, we learn that once there's a birth, it's considered a new generation. As Rashi says, Kol Leida Demigerus Ve'elach, any birth that occurs from the time of conversion and on, Chada Dora counts as a generation. And we're looking for the third generation is allowed to marry into the Jewish people. So however you define this child in utero, but upon birth, a birthing process occurred to this child, and therefore the child counts as a new generation, namely a second generation, and therefore a woman from Mitzrayim who's pregnant converts, her grandchild, even if her child is born after the conversion, but her grandchild is already going to have the birthing process twice, and therefore that grandchild is going to be permitted, lavo b'kol, to marry into the congregation. Let's skip down three lines up from the bottom. De Amar Rava, Rava said, and this is going to be very focused on our fundamental question, how do you view the fetus at the moment of conversion? Nochris me'uberes sheniskaira, a woman who's pregnant, who's converting. Bina ein tzarech tevila, her child will not require immersion in a mikvah upon birth in order to convert to Judaism. The child is already considered tavul, immersed, based on the mother's immersing. Asks the Gemara, Amai, how does that work? Why is that working? V'chitema mishum de Rabbi Yitzchak, de Om Rabbi Yitzchak, Devar Torah rubo umakbid olav chotzeitz, rubo she'en umakbid olav ein chotzeitz. If you want to invoke the ruling of Rabbi Yitzchak, that a partial chatzitza is not a problem, so even though the water of the mikveh is not touching the fetus, but a partial chatzitza, at least midda oraisa, from the Torah law, before the rabbis made it a little bit more strict and said, even, let's say, a band-aid is already a chatzitza and it has to be removed before mikveh. But according to Torah law, partial chatzitza would still be a valid immersing. For ha'amar Rav Kana onto Amud Beis, Rav Kana taught lo shanu elo rubo. That's only if it's a partial chatzitza. Avo kulo chotzeitz. But if no mikvah water touched the person, that's considered a chatzitza even midda oraisa. How in the world is the fetus considered having gone to mikvah if none of the mikvah water touches, because there's something surrounding him that's stopping the water from touching him? And the Gemara answers, Shaini Ubar. Ubar is different. The fetus has a different way that we look at it. Dahainu Rabbi say, because that's to his benefit. The woman that's surrounding him is his mother. That's how he gets his nutrition. That's how he exists. He's only alive because of that type of chatzitza. A chatzitza that is a total affirmation, it's totally to its benefit, that's not considered a chatzitza. And therefore, the approach that this Gemara is presenting is that the child is on its own going to mikvah. And if you're wondering, it's a chatzitza, hainu rabbi say, that's not considered a chatzitza because all of the areas that are covered over are to its benefit, and it's considered immersed. Taisvis and Amad Aleph points out that there's another approach that one might use over here, which is that we're not immersing the fetus per se, we're immersing the mother. An uber yerech imo. Uber, the fetus, is an extension of the mother. Just like we don't start asking, so how were you tovel the heart part of you? And how did you do the liver and all kinds of internal organs? So you don't ask about the child either. The child is simply part of the mother. And you don't need to ask, what about the fact that there's a chatzitza? Now, these two fundamental approaches of how to look at the fetus appear in practical halacha as well. One of the Mefarshim in Shulchan Aruch says that this law of a pregnant woman converting, and it will include the fetus. So one of the Mefarshim says that only works if the Beis Din is aware that she is pregnant. The Jewish court that's presiding has to be aware that she's pregnant, presumably. If they're not aware, the problem is that we can't convert the fetus if we don't know about him. In other words, looking at it as if we're converting the fetus, we have presumably the affirmation of the parents, but we're converting the fetus, focused on the fetus, and if we don't know of the fetus, so you can't do that. That's very similar to the approach that was used in the Gemara of we're converting the fetus, but I don't see how you can do it because there's a chatzitza. There's a separation between the child and the water. And we had to answer, Hainu Rabbi say, no, that's good for him. It's not considered a chatzitza. But a different approach, which is described by the Aruch HaShulchan, is that we don't need to know about the fetus, because that child is simply, at this point, part of the parent. The Aruch HaShulchan says, we don't even care about the chatzitza issue. It doesn't even start as a question, because the child is simply a part of the mother. The child does not have its own independent life at this point. It's part of the mother, and according to the Aruch HaShulchan, the Beis Din would not need to know that the woman is pregnant. That part of her body is converted as a part of her and not with any independent assessment. Yashikoach, thank you for joining.